Welcome back to Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren. We sure love you guys and we pray for you every day. Thanks so much for being a part of our Daily Hope family. Well, the past few weeks we've been talking about unshakable faith, a faith that gives you the courage to impact the world all around you simply by telling people your experience with Jesus. Well, we're bringing this series, Daring Faith, The Key to Miracles, to a close. Rick's going to take us through a final look at how we can have a bold, unshakable faith, a faith that gives you the courage to want to impact the world all around you. And right now, let's join Rick with a message called Daring to Go in Faith.
Two of the words that summarize the message of Jesus are these: come and go. You might write that down. Come and go are two of the words that summarize what Jesus came to tell us about. To the hurting, to the confused, to the lost, to the broken, to the frustrated, to the guilty, to the depressed, Jesus says, come. He says, come. To those of us who have been saved, had our lives transformed, been changed, been turned upside down for the better, he says to us, go. The verb changes. Look at this verse, Matthew 11, Jesus says this: if you're tired of carrying heavy burdens, if you're tired of carrying heavy burdens, come to me and I will give you rest. Take the yoke I give you, put it on your shoulders and learn from me. I'm gentle and humble and you'll find rest. My yoke is easy to bear and my burden is light. A yoke is what you'd use to put two cattle together so that the load is lightened. Instead of one cow pulling the wagon, two can share it. Jesus says, yoke up with me, partner with me, and I'll help you carry your load. And if you're under stress right now, Jesus says to you, come, come to me. But then once you're in God's family, and once your life has been healed and made whole and your life has been changed, God changes the verb and he says to you, go. Luke 7:50, Jesus said, your faith has saved you. Now go. James 2:17, any faith that doesn't lead us to go into action with good deeds is worthless. It's dead and useless. If you claim to be a Christian and you're not going, he says, your faith is dead and useless. Now, God is in the business of telling people to go. He told Noah, go build an ark. He told Abraham, go to another country and I'm going to give you a new homeland. He told Moses, go back to Egypt and get the children of Israel and I'm going to release them. And he tells Jacob to go, and he tells Gideon to go, and he tells Isaiah to go, and he tells Paul and David and on and on. And it is a going message. So this weekend is our final message in Daring Faith. I want us to look at daring to go in faith. Now let me ask you a question. Would you like to have someone live with you in your house for your entire life, or for all of eternity for that matter, and they didn't like you? Instead, they actually hated you? No. Wouldn't you want, if somebody's gonna live with you in your house for the rest of your life, you'd want them to be somebody who loves you? Well, yeah, of course you would. Well, so does God. And that's why people who don't love God don't go to heaven. God only wants people in heaven who really genuinely want to be there, who genuinely love him. Why would anybody ignore God their entire life on earth and then want to go live with him for eternity? That makes no sense. And so God puts us on earth instead of taking us directly to heaven to let us decide, each of us get to decide, whether we're going to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind and strength or not. And he lets us decide. It's our choice. Now, the fact is, the Bible tells us God has invited you to a party. And it's the biggest party ever in the universe. And it's going to last forever and ever and ever. And it's going to be in heaven. It's going to be the banquet to end all banquets. It's going to be the party to end all parties. It's going to be a celebration that lasts for eternity. And you're invited. You're invited. But some people, for one reason or another, reject the invitation. Jesus said, I am the way. You come to the Father through me. Now, Jesus told a story to explain the party that you've been invited to by God. Luke chapter 14. It's there on your outline. A very powerful and generous man prepared a great banquet, and he invited many prominent guests. And when the banquet was ready, he sent his servant to go and tell those invited to come. He said, come, for now everything is ready. But they, that's those invited, all began to make excuses. And the first guy says, I've just bought a field and I must go see it. Please excuse me. And another said, I've just acquired five pair of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. Now, when the servant reported this, the owner of the estate became angry. And he told his servant, go quickly into the streets and the alleys of our city and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame as my guest. And the servant said, Master, we've already done this, but there's still room for more in your banquet. And the master said, then go out of the city to the roads and the country lanes and go everywhere and invite everyone to come so that my house will be full. I promise you this, not one of those people who ignored my invitation will ever get to taste what I had prepared for them. That's a sad statement. That a lot of people in life are never going to get to taste what God had prepared for them simply because they didn't accept the invitation. They were too busy. Now, God has prepared a generous banquet for all of us. It's a party in heaven that's going to go on for eternity. And the food's going to be like nothing you've ever eaten. I'm waiting for that. And the Bible says God planned this party because he's gracious and because God is generous. All generosity comes from God. And the Bible says God wants a full house. He wants a lot of people in heaven. He doesn't want a few people in heaven. He wants his house full. Full. Now, I want you to notice three things in this story. First thing is that God says that some people are going to reject his invitation. And he said when they reject it, they're going to regret it. Those who reject the invitation will regret it. And he says, not one of those people who ignored my invitation will ever get to taste what I had prepared for them. How dumb is that? To miss a party that God planned for you. But a lot of people do it. And notice that the excuses that people gave for not participating, they were all lame. The first guy said, oh, I can't come to the party because I just bought a field. Really? It's going to be there tomorrow. A field's not going to move. What's going to be any different? I just bought a farm. I got to go see it. Really, could you not wait a day and go see it? That's a dumb excuse. Second guy says, I just acquired a new business asset. I got some new oxen. That's like saying I got some new equipment. I just got some new physical assets for my business. And I'm going to let my business keep me from accepting God's invitation. The third guy says, well, I just got married. I'm going to let a relationship keep me from accepting God's invitation. These are all lame excuses. But then he says this, if you are a servant, remember he sent the servant out to go get all the guests? He said, if you are a servant of God, your job is to bring in the guest. So, question, are you a servant of God? Are you a child of God? Are you in God's family? Are you saved? Then this is your job description. While you're here on this planet, if you claim to be a Christian, you claim to be a child of God, you claim to be a servant of God, this is your job description. Go invite the guests. He says, that's what you're to do. I want you to circle a number of things in this passage. First, circle, go and tell. Circle the phrase, go and tell. And then circle, go quickly. And then circle, bring in. And then circle, go out of our city. And then circle, go everywhere. And then circle, invite everyone to come. Those six things, go and tell, go quickly, bring in, go out of the city, go everywhere, invite everyone, that's your job as a Christian. If you've truly been saved, you've truly been transformed, you're truly born again, you're truly in the family of God, that's your job description the rest of your life here on earth. You are to go and tell, go quickly, bring in, go out to our city, go everywhere, invite everybody to come in. This is what it means to dare to go in faith. I got to thinking this week, how many important words in the Christian life cannot be spelled without G-O? You can't spell God without go. Gospel, good news, goodness. And so I wrote down here on your outline, I must go to obey God. I must go to do good. I must go to live the gospel. I must go to become godly. I must go to reach my goals, and I must go to share the good news. These things can't be done without go. Go is included in these things. Where are we going? If God says, I want you to go, then where are we going? Well, we're going to go four places. You might write these down. First, we're going to go to God for help. We know we can't do it on our own. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles 16:11, go to the Lord for help and worship him continually. The Bible says in Psalm 34:10, those who go to the Lord for help will have every good thing. That's a promise. It's a promise. Psalm 37:40, God helps them and rescues them and saves them from the wicked because they go to him for protection. Let me show you a couple others up here on the screen. The Bible says in Ephesians 3:12, we can go to God with bold confidence through faith in Christ. And the Bible says in Psalm 34:22, no one who runs to him loses out. So where are we going to go first? We're going to go to God. We go to God for help in all the things he's called us to do because he gives us the power to do it. Number two, second thing we're going to do, we're going to go together for support. We're much more effective together. We're better together. We can accomplish more together than we could ever on our own. As I said, one drop of rain doesn't make any difference, but a million drops of rain can turn a desert into a garden. And the reason we're going to join together and cooperate is three reasons. First is life's tough. Everybody agree with that? Life's tough, and you need support. The Bible says in Acts 14:22, Paul and Barnabas strengthened the disciples and he encouraged them to remain true to the faith, reminding them that we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. It's not an easy path doing the right thing. It's much easier to be selfish. It's very easy to be selfish in life. It's very hard to be unselfish. And we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. So life's tough. We need to go through it together. Not only that, anytime you try to do something good, evil's going to oppose you. Evil always opposes good. And the Bible says in Philippians 1, I want to hear that you're working together and that you're struggling side by side to get others to believe the good news. That's going to the good news. Don't be intimidated by those who oppose you. You've been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him. We're in this fight together. So keep on loving one another and working together with one heart and purpose. Life's tough. We're going to have opposition. But there's another reason we work together. It's because we can afford to do more together. And everybody together, everybody put in their little part, everybody put in their little part. And together, we're going to do stuff that nobody could do on their own. You couldn't, and I couldn't. And this is a significant symbol of what happens when we work together. You can't always go to every nation in the world, but you can help send people. In fact, the Bible says it like this for 3 John 1. We must support believers who go on trips like this, so we can work together with them in spreading the truth. And then the third thing we're going to do, what are we going to do? We're going to go on to maturity. We're going to go on to maturity. We said that daring faith is about growing, sowing, and going in faith. The Bible says it like this, Hebrews 6:1. Let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. 2 Peter 1:8, the more you go on in this way, the more you will grow strong spiritually and become fruitful and useful to our Lord Jesus. You know what the sad thing is? Some people just don't want to grow up. They don't want to grow up spiritually. They don't want to have their faith stretched. They don't want to learn to trust God in everywhere. They're afraid to trust God with their finances. They're afraid to trust God with their time. And as a result, they live in baby beach their entire life. They never go out into the deep end of the pool. And they kick around in the shallows and live a very shallow life because they're afraid to trust God and grow up. And the Bible says about them, 2 Peter 1, anybody who fails to go after these additions to faith is blind or very short-sighted and has forgotten that God delivered us from the old life of sin so that Now we can live a strong, good life for the Lord. We're going to go on faith. We're going to go to God. We're going to go together. We're going to go on to maturity. And number four, we're going to go tell the good news. We're going to go tell the good news using every available means at every available time to reach every available person, including mobile apps and everything else, internet, social media. We're going to make history. The Bible says this in Romans 10. Anybody who asks the Lord for help will be saved. But before people can trust the Lord, they must believe in him. And before they can believe in him, they must hear about him, obviously. And to hear about him, somebody must go and tell them. And before somebody can go and tell them, he must be sent. It is written, how beautiful is the person who comes to bring the good news. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to go tell the good news. And we're not going to do this on our own power. Acts 1:8, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be given my power. And you are to go and be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now notice it says, God's Spirit will come on you and you'll get power. And he says, the result of that is you go. Now listen very close to me. The proof of the filling of the Holy Spirit is not some emotional experience. The proof that you have God's Spirit is not speaking in tongues. The proof that you have God's Spirit is not how high you jump. The proof that you have God's Spirit in you is, are you going? Are you telling anybody the good news? The proof of filling is that you're going. Now, the next verse, it sounds pretty callous until you understand that Jesus is using a hyperbole. Hyperbole means an intentional exaggeration, an intentional and extravagant statement just to get your attention to make a point. It's not to be taken literally. But here's what Jesus says in Luke 9:60. Jesus said, let people who are dead bury the dead. Your job is to go and tell others about God's kingdom. Now, what in the world does he mean by that statement? What's he mean by that? I mean, it sounds pretty callous. Let dead people bury dead people. You go tell people the good news. What he's saying here is that you need to be indispensable. He's saying there's some jobs and some tasks in life that anybody can do. You don't have to be a Christian. You don't have to believe in Christ. It's a job anybody can do. But there's some jobs that only a believer can do. Only a Christian can do. Only a Christian can tell other people about Christ. Only a Christian can tell other people how to get to heaven. Only a Christian can show Christ's compassion the way Christ wants it shown. And he says, be indispensable. Let people who are spiritually dead do the things that anybody can do. And you should spend more of your life doing things that only you can do. There's a lot of stuff you can spend the rest of your life doing that when you get to heaven, isn't going to amount at all. It isn't going to make any difference at all. But the real issue is, as I said, is anybody going to be in heaven because of you? What kind of legacy are you going to leave? The greatest legacy is having somebody come up to you in heaven and say, I'm here because of you. That's using your life in a valuable way. Now, Saddleback was founded in obedience to what is called the Great Commission. It's the last words of Jesus before he goes back to heaven. And Jesus says this, and we founded this church because of this verse, Matthew 28. Jesus said, all power and authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He says, I got it all. Therefore, go, there's the word go. Go to all people in every nation and make them my disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and teach them to do everything I have told you. And here's the promise, I will be with you always. When God says go, never say no. When God says go, never say no. One day you're going to stand before God and he's going to say, did you receive me, my son? Yes, I did. Did you go after you received my son? No. Why? I told you to. You think I only wanted you saved? You think you're the only person I wanted in heaven? No, I left you on earth to tell other people. What legacy will you leave? Do you know anything in your life that's gonna be bigger and more important than that? If you do, stand up right now and tell us. If you know a more important thing to do with your life than bringing people into God's family, I'd like to know it, because I decided a long time ago, I'm not gonna waste my life. And I haven't. And when I get to heaven, I'm gonna have a lot of friends. A lot of friends. And many of you are gonna have a lot of friends too. That is a legacy.
What a great message today from Pastor Rick. There's something I always can use in my own life after listening to this show. All right, would you like to step out of a life of ordinary existence and into a life of extraordinary faith? Then please, order the Daring Faith DVD and study kit by Pastor Rick Warren. Here's Rick to tell you more.
How'd you like to have a bold, unshakable faith that gives you the courage to make the changes you've always wanted to see in your life, your work, your family, and in the world? That's not a dream. That's exactly what God wants to do in your life. He wants you to learn to live by daring faith. The Bible says, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. Now, to help you develop that kind of faith, I put together a Daring Faith study kit, and it includes a DVD, and it includes a workbook. Now, there's six sessions in the Daring Faith Study Kit, and it'll teach you these six things: how to build a life of faith, how to expect the best from God, how to stretch your imagination in order to see what God wants to do in your life, to expand your vision, how to have the courage to take the initiative with your faith, how to face your fears with bold faith, and how to believe and what to do while you're waiting on God. You cannot afford to miss this series. It was one of the most important series I've ever done at Saddleback Church. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 3:12, because of our faith in Him, we dare to have boldness and courage and confidence in coming to God with freedom and without fear. I want you to have that boldness, that courage, and that confidence when you come to God in prayer. I want you to come to Him without fear and come to Him in freedom. God will use this Daring Faith study kit just like He used it in the lives of tens of thousands of other people. He'll use it in your life if you'll trust Him in all things. So get this kit today.
You know, today, when you give a gift to help Daily Hope take the hope of Jesus to a hurting world, we will send you a copy of the Daring Faith study kit. And it has six video sessions and a workbook, and that's our way of saying thanks for your gift. So go to PastorRick.com, or you could text the word HOPE to 800-600-5004 to get this great study tool. Again, that's PastorRick.com, or text the word HOPE to 800-600-5004. And thank you so much for your support. We hope you'll join us next time when we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.